Let's go to the Lord in prayer, folks. Father, we do lift to you a study. We lift our hearts to you. We lift all of our being, realizing, Father, you're the one who's given us all that we have. We ask now, Father, as we search through our life, our individual calling, Father, that you will give us some light within our life that we might shine the light of your Son to the world. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this is focusing on live your calling. We've already learned that everybody has a calling. Now, I want you all to think on this. People that don't accept Christ had a calling. They had a calling, but they refused to accept that calling. Every human being is called by God to do something. How do you know that? They're born. So there's a purpose for everything that goes on within our life. There is a purpose for every personality that God has allowed to exist. You are called to become tonight, and the call to become means you're called to become like Christ. Now, I want us to think about something here, and I think we as Christians too often don't get into this deep of thought or to think this much about it. When Christ saved me, Christ saved the one, and he saw what I would be one day. I'm saved, but Christ and only Christ could see what I would become. I wouldn't know. So Christ in my salvation, when I said yes to him, he looks at me, he looks at you, and the Father looks at me, and the Father looks at you through his heart, remember, through his eyes, as seeing that you've already become. You and I don't see ourselves that way. We see ourselves lacking, okay? Are we lacking? Sure. But God looks at us as though we're already in that future. We're already in heaven. He knows that we have become. So everything that is going on with us in our calling, God will allow to glorify his Son. The good, the bad, the ugly, anything that's going on with you in life, God is going to make it turn for the good. Your enemies that you will have, they will deal the pit, the scripture says, and then it also follows up with, and they will fall into their own trap. So the focus of us becoming, you and I look at it that way. I'll teach it that way. But God sees us as already there. Now, remember this, too. In our walk through life, many Christians are getting caught up with, I need to walk this way and I need to walk that way because somebody told me that this is what I needed to do. Your calling is individual. God is the only one that can give you direction in your calling. Everybody else will want to help you, but sometimes you get too much help. Your calling is independent, individual. But in meaning only in the calling. So therefore, nobody's like you. Nobody will be like you. No, and there's not going to be anybody that comes along that will be like you. So that calling is so precious to God because it's an independent calling. You can never look at one preacher. You can never look at a teacher. You can never look at another Christian and say, I wonder if I'm going to become like them. I can tell you right now, no, other than you'll be in heaven like they are, but you won't be like them. God only needs one type of personality at a time. Gosh, can you imagine never the same snowflake or the same design of a snowflake ever falling since time began or was? And there'll never be another Larry Stutler. Will or Kathy? No. They're just won't be. Yes, he does. And every one of us have that distinction. You're here for the purpose. Our whole life is spent with us looking forward, and yet God is looking at us as we're already there, right under him. Now, Romans 8, 28, 29. We know that God causes everything to work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. You got it? His purpose for them. God looks at the purpose he has for you. Who gives you depth in it? God does. How do you learn to preach? Well, God teaches you. The teaching is a gift from God. And each person will learn their own way. For God knew his people in advance. Oh, got to think of that one. Can you imagine, Kidder? God knew us in advance and he let us be born anyway. Think of that. He let you bless Marion and let me bless my mother by us being born. It's getting sickening now. Okay. And he chose them to become like his son. Chosen. So that his son would be the firstborn with many brothers and sisters. Therefore, everyone who says yes to Jesus is a brother or a sister to Christ, right? We all, and Jesus says to all of us, he says, look, all the things you've seen me do, you can do also. What holds us back? We're in the battle with the human existence. Christ was in the battle with the human existence. The difference is he conquered it. He conquered and knew that each time that any type of temptation, whether Satan or whatever, would come his way, he had to conquer those temptations in order for you and I not to be found guilty of us ourselves falling into those temptations. Everything had to be conquered. All sin had to be conquered. Satan had to be defeated. On that cross, he had to be defeated. And the only way, God, Christ could leave nothing undone. Every feeling, every emotion. Picture it. Every feeling, every emotion of any human being that was to ever be born. Past, present, and the future ones. He had to take that on the cross. And you and I can't even deal with little old me, right? And yet he took them all. He did it, though, because he loves us. And he did it knowing that he sees us as already there, already have overcome through him. How do we become what God has called us to be? Here we go. We're ready for it. We must run our personal marathon to maturity. There again, advice is fine. As long as the advisors do not take it personally when you don't take their advice. Most advice is worth what you paid for it. But be careful, folks, because I could not get into discussion with any other individual and said, this is what God wants you to do. I don't know that. But I can say, using scripture, what you do is listening to the Holy Spirit. The human race is messed up. And many different ideologies that are going on out there. I was reading the background on this IHOP group that's been around since 1999, I believe, is when it began. And what all was going on with it. And I was looking at a lot of folk is saying, you know, this isn't right, that isn't right. And I started reading some of it, and I said, no, it is not right. In fact, but it is a individuals want to be able to figure everything out. International House of Prayer is what I'm talking about. IHOP, not pancakes. That's Kidder's thing over here. He goes to that one.
But
not. Yep. 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 And they give you syrup with it too, don't they? But you have to watch it. You have to be real careful on all of these groups, folks. Anytime that you will have, and I don't care whether it's a school, I don't care whether it's a group at all that comes and says, now, young man, let me tell you what you need to do. Well, young man, this old man's going to tell you, run as fast as you can. Because a person called of God must follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, well, and when they come to you and say, God sent me to you. Now, how are you going to know whether he sent them to you or not? You think God's not going to let you know somebody's coming? Do you think that you're not going to, the Holy Spirit that this person says that they have, that same Holy Spirit that you will have, and don't you think maybe he's going to let you in on it? So, run your own personal marathon to maturity. Have you ever wondered what you're going to do when you grow up? Every one of us. I know you're going to buy another Harley. You think they're going to be Harley Davidsons in heaven, don't you?
I want to buy
single. You want to tour real slow, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, I have a feeling you'll get a cloud. So the personal marathon to maturity, that's our life. That's our existence. I don't know why all the stuff comes on us like it does, folks. I don't know why. I don't know why we're messed up, any of us. But I do know this. We're commanded by God to run our own personal. Now, my marathon is not with another human being. You never get in competition with another preacher. You never get in competition with another church. Christian churches should never be into that stuff, because you are to minister to the type of personalities that God sends and where they're comfortable in being able to worship. So run your own personal marathon, but run it to maturity. Don't quit. Christians, our young Christians are quitting. And one of the reasons I really believe that the young Christians are quitting is because they see mom and dad quitting. They listen to the talk in the house when they're not in church. They listen to what's going on. Well, I'm just not going to go back there because I don't like this, or I don't like that, or I don't like, it's always the negatives. If you allow a negative to stop you from serving God, you got more problems than you can imagine. You have to mature as a Christian. Take a licking and keep on ticking. Okay, number one. How do we become what God called us to be? Simplify your life. How am I going to simplify my life? Well, at your age, be simple, I guess. Think of this. Listen to Hebrews 12:1. Let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Okay. And I know that this teaching comes in all the time with me, because I know what God is doing with me now in these latter days. That you let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Patience. When you get the call to preach, you get the call to teach, you get saved. What you do, you're so excited. You're just bubbling over because you know you're going to heaven. I mean, they don't get better than that. So you get so excited over it. And so you want to push God real quick. And God's not ready for you on the scene yet. God's not ready for you on the scene. Without having 28 years in the prison chaplaincy, would I have ever been able to have pastored a church? And that's like saying ever pastor, I'll go to prison for 28 years. I'm talking about with me and my personality of what I've got to see, and how that God would send people that are broken and people that are hurting. Why? Why? Well, right now, look at it and see. I've seen these things. I've felt a tremendous amount of these hurts. Simplify your life. strip away anything that slows you down. Slowing you down in your walk with Christ. If it's pulling you away from your walk with Christ, it is not of God. Now, you can, and you should, have Bible studies. You should have outreach. We should do all these other things. But don't you ever get caught up in instead of church. Christ died for the church. You and I are his body. Therefore, his church must have the light, not a program, IHOPs or any of the rest of the hops. Number two, don't get impatient or in a hurry. Have you noticed everyone, so far two don'ts, and I've done both of them. Have you noticed your life that most of the don'ts you read, you're doing? You know, well, let me see, what does God want me to do? And then you're reading a scripture that says, don't do this, don't. Well, I'm doing the don'ts. But we need to do the do. Got it? Did you catch that, Mitch? Don't get impatient or in a hurry. Champions in a race know how to pace themselves. Hebrews 12, second part of verse 1. Let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Okay. God did not set Randy's race before me. God did not set Mitch's race before me, nor my race before Mitch. Each one of us, God set our race before us. And our race is focused on us standing up for Christ in a world that hates him. Seems like he came into a world, a community and all just like it. Thousands upon thousands loved him. And yet, when he got too deep in his ministry of sharing the truth spiritually, and he says, he who does not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood has no place with me. At that point, remember, they turned and walked away. Hundreds that were there. Got it? He turns to his disciples and says, will you go too? Mitch, I want you to look up Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 70. Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 70. That'll also be a scripture if you ever have someone tell you that that whoever saved, you know, once a person is called, they're called, or I'm talking about, Judas is in that. But what I'm talking about is when somebody gives you a foreign doctrine of saying there's no need for you to witness to that individual because they're either going to heaven or going to hell because it's pre-planned. You got that? Okay, I want you to read verse 70 for us.
And Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is the devil?
Look at that scripture every time when somebody is trying to tell you, well, now, there's no need for you to go witness or anything else because that person's already saved, they're going to heaven, or they're already lost. And yet Jesus himself said, I chose you 12, but one of you is the devil. Everyone has a chance. There's not any individual out there that God does not give them the opportunity to change their life through Christ. And a big move going on that now, so be careful with it. Number three, spend time focusing on Jesus every day. You ever want to know who your God is? The one that you worship, whatever you worship, is what you think the most about. What's on your mind all the time, that's your God. Whatever you think more of, you're continued. What are you thinking about? You thinking about money? Then that's your God. Why in the world do we think about money when God owns it all? How many hills has he got cattle on, Randy? You remember? 1,000 hills. He owns it all. And he takes very good care of us. Spend the time focusing on Jesus every day. We become like those we spend the most time with. You know, think of it. You get out here and you're hanging around certain groups. What does everybody say? He's one of them. He's one of them. And sometimes he's the leader of the pack. We become like those we spend the most time with. Yeah. Spend more time with Jesus, okay? Hebrews 12, first part of verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. You are not going to get it perfect. You are never going to be perfect in this body. You are going to lose it ever so often, and you will probably let a bad word slip here or there. And sometimes you may let more than that slip. Think of it. And then that you realize, I'm broken. And then you think back and you say, well, that's what Jesus said. That's in this book called the Bible. We're broken. Doesn't mean that I run to that brokenness. It means that I recognize that brokenness. And in prayer, I ask my Savior to help me through the brokenness. I cannot be healed internally or externally without the power of God. There's no doctor, there's no surgeons, there's no one out there that can heal a body that God does not allow to do so. I had some asked me one time, would you allow a person of another faith to do surgery on you? And I know many Christians say, no, I'm not going to allow those people of a different faith. They're not going to touch me. Well, sometimes I wonder whether or not the people with a different faith, which there are several, but there are many doctors that have no faith in anything. Yet we never question allowing a person that has no faith. If what we ask, we say, are they the best? Every one of us say, I want the best for my child. And then we say, I want the best for me. Now, my kid's taking care of them, want the best for me. How many times do they ask you? Well, the Christian doctors that we have here are not proficient in that area of expertise. But we have one that's not saved, a non-Christian. What are you going to say? No, that's okay. Because he's not saved, go ahead and let my child die. No, you're not going to do that. What if through that surgery, God touches his heart and that individual accepts Christ because of something they've seen in you and your actions and all? Don't get religious on me. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You are a Christian, and it is personal. 2 Corinthians 3:18, all of us have had that veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. Yes, we have. But how many times do we cover it back up? And as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. I've had preachers, pastors, evangelists, whatever, but preachers. I had one guy that was a pastor locally out of Eatown years ago, and he said we were discussing something, he and Dr. Phipps and me and a bunch of young pastors in those days. And he said, well, let me tell you, boys, I am not going to allow my marriage to be destroyed because of my calling. I met my wife and married her before God called me to preach. Oh, that was, yes, that was a mouth opener, and you're thinking, what he was, and he didn't stand, he's out of the ministry now. But what the thing is, the more you follow Christ, the better your marriage and family is going to be. It wasn't so hot for him when he left the ministry. He went on down Cave City, and then anyway, he left the ministry completely. and lost a wife and all in the process. So it didn't work out that good, did it? Folks, you never turn your back on Christ. You can cry, you can weep, you can mourn because of a loss. But don't you ever walk away from your calling. Number four, when life gets hard, remember the reward. You know, when life is hard, we don't think about the reward. We're thinking about the hardness. And then if we don't watch it, it'll be a pity party big time. Woe is me, Lord. I've served you all these many years. I've given up hours and hours and hours just for studying your word. And then you let this happen to me. It makes me just want to slap them, and I know it does you girls right there. It's an idea because we deal with life and the hurt, and we deal with that hurt, and we keep going. But I've never blamed God for it. I've never blamed God for anything that's gone on in my life that's gone on wrong. I knew who messed it up. You're looking at him. And I knew who picked me up, and you got him in your heart. When life gets hard, remember the reward. Problems are part of the becoming process. Okay, what are you going to do down there? I got saved. I've accepted Christ. Okay, Lord, I'm ready to go home. Hey, I'm saved. I got Jesus. I'm heaven bound. Okay, Lord. Well, wait a minute, Larry. I got a job for you to do. I have a ministry for you to follow through with. I'll bring you home later. Oh, Lord, now that really bothers me. I'm saved and I want to go now. And not only that, Lord, let me tell you something. I don't want to have to die to get there. I want to take this body just like it is, Lord, because you... Well, I don't. My body hurts. Yeah. Oh, gosh. But we need to understand we are continually becoming through the human process. I am spiritual, but I am also human, folks. I am spiritual in my spirit of knowing that I'm going on home, but I'm also understand that this is a temple of God, and I'm called by God to preach His word and to teach. And when it's time for me to go, I'm out of here. But it'll be His time and not mine. Hebrews 12:2-3. Jesus did not give up because of the cross. Think of that. Think of what you and I would do when we were looking at the cross, and He's in the Garden of Gethsemane that night. He realized to the point of sweating as great drops of blood coming out of Him. He realized what He was getting ready to do on that cross and the process of getting there. Only He would be able to do for us. He took everything from everybody and offered every person that would ever exist salvation. Now, you and I, we couldn't hang up there for 1 second with a heart of forgiveness like He had. When you're looking down and He sees His mother weeping, He sees His best friends, those who were closest to Him, have ran off and refused to admit that they even knew Him. And He says, I love them, Lord. And looking down to those who were persecuting Him and killing Him on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for Him, He thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And He is now seated at the right side of God's throne. Think of what He went through. How He put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up. You know, and the older I get and the longer I'm in the ministry and knowing just what little bit I can understand about the agony of that cross and the depth of His whole being and taking on all of it. And remember again, that's the only time that you will ever find in history or ever has been when Jesus was separated from the Father. You won't find that nowhere else. It's on the cross. That's when Jesus cried out, "My daddy, daddy, why have you forsaken me?" And God turned his back on his son. But for the split second or whatever it was, if you ever been in pain or in battle and they say, well, the firefight lasted only about 15 seconds. Yeah, if you'd have been there, you'd have thought it's 15 hours that was going on. But you see, and yet Jesus, oh gosh, folks, he loves us so much. 1 Peter 5:10. After you suffer for a short time, you're going to suffer, Mitch. You're still suffering, kidder. God, who gives all grace, will make everything right. He will make you strong and support you and keep you from falling. He called you to share in his glory in Christ, a glory that will continue forever. A glory that will continue forever. Now listen to that. He called you to share in his glory in Christ, a glory that will continue forever in Christ. Whew. Number five, God's church family is the team we need to run with. God's church family is the team we need to run with. When you separate from the church to find a team to run with, you got a problem. It's your race, but champion runners always have a team of fellow champions in a supporting role. See, every one of us in here are champions. We're saved. When you know Christ, you're a champion. You're his champion. And the champion beside of you is the other champion that is going to help you as you're running your individual race. Remember, we're not running against one another. It is an individual race dealing with life. So therefore, you and I will help you. You will help me. Why? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we want each of us to make it. Because, folks, in Christ, we are all winners. And gosh, don't we need to understand that? Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. Sometimes it takes a 2-4 upside the head, right? To spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another as you see the day approaching. Number six, remember God is cheering us at every stage. This was important. Let me read this one. No one shames a baby for not talking, right? Baby's laying there and the kid, all that baby's doing, goo, 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 goo. Yeah, and you act about like the baby does. And you sound like them. No wonder these kids can never learn how to talk. Because we adults talk, babies talk to them. Okay, I'll get out. No one shames a baby for not talking. Or we don't shame a 10-year-old for not driving. So don't be ashamed of whatever stage you're at. Because, see, the stages, it's different for each of us. It's the journey. But wherever that individual is, respect that stage. Philippians 3, 12, 14. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. It's just Paul. Guarantee you he hadn't. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing. You ready? Forgetting the past, that past will kill you, folks. forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Whew. I want to see it. And I don't even know what it is. You know, I know. Yeah. It is good. But you and I cannot imagine how good it is. Isn't that the exciting part? You can't think. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, nor has it entered the mind of a man what great things he has in store for us. And so when these people come back to life again, telling you what heaven's like, don't waste your money on the books. Get your Bible out. Read it. The one who came from heaven to begin with, his name is Jesus. He came from heaven and he reminded us of something. He says, I'm going back home. See, Jesus wasn't dying, leaving earth. His home, it wasn't his home. I'm going home. I came from heaven and I'm going back to my home up there. Oh, it's got to be a beautiful place, doesn't it? Number 7, take every step with purpose. Don't waste any step or any energy. Be disciplined. I love discipline, that term, much more than habit. Be disciplined. 1 Corinthians 9, 25-26. And let me bring it to your attention. And this is what I mean by that. I have an individual who makes the statement. And in that statement, he says, you know, I have never, ever smoked a cigarette or nor liquor has ever touched these lips. Well, what about the one who had smoked and who had drank, but because of accepting Christ and through discipline, he no longer drank or no longer smoked? Tell me which one was the closest in his following with Christ in that area. If the temptation isn't tempting to me, then it's not a temptation for me. It's a temptation for the other guy. But if it doesn't tempt me and I say, oh, well, I don't do that. Haven't you ever noticed that everybody is against the sin that they're not doing? Whatever the sin is they're against, they're not doing it so they can be against it. Well, God looks to the heart and he sees the battles from an individual that is a drug addict, an alcoholic, a narcissist, and that's all addictions. You get addicted to yourself. I'm so pretty, you know, and all this other stuff. And I deserve this, and I deserve that, and I think you ought to go get it for me. All athletes, 1 Corinthians 9, 25 through 26, all athletes practice strict self-control. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. Paul said, I'm not going to shadow box either. And I'm not going to miss my punch. I'm going to run the race Christ has called me to. Hebrews 12:12-13. Lift up your tired hands. Lift up your tired hands then and strengthen your trembling knees. Keep walking on straight paths, so that your lame foot may not be disabled, but instead be healed. You all read that from a spiritual standpoint. Let me read it again. Hebrews 12:12-13. Lift up your tired hands when you're broken inside, then, and strengthen your trembling knees. You're so broken you can't even stand up. Keep walking on straight paths. The only straight path is the path that Christ has set before you to him. That's the straight path. So that your lame foot, your hang up, your lame foot may not be disabled, but instead be healed. I don't know why it's this way. I don't know why we go through what we go through. Only thing I do know from Scripture is that Jesus says, I'm always with you on it. So that ought to be good enough for us. But folks, it doesn't keep it from hurting. It doesn't keep us from hurting because of the things in life that keep getting us down. But when we put so much focus on that negative or what's getting us down, and that's not working in our life, we still stay down. Don't you think maybe we ought to work and do something just the opposite of what we're doing? Like truly trust in Jesus and what he's told us to do? Number 8, realize what we don't finish, God will. You will never be so important on planet Earth that you can't be replaced. Had a wise man tell me one time, Larry, you want to know how important you are in all of this in the world? Get you a pail of water. You set the water down. You stick your finger in the water, and you pull that finger out, and then tell me what hole is left. That's how important you are to the world. Now, you want me to tell you how important you are to the Creator of the world? He gave his only begotten Son for you. The world will always despise you because they despise me, Jesus says. And if you take my word, they'll despise you. And they will offer you up and they will kill you. And some will kill you thinking they're doing God service. That's frightening. But it's real. God is going to complete our character development one day. Why'd you ever look at your friends and all, or your husband or wife, and think, man, there's a character. That is a character. And we're God's characters. Your character, Brother Randy. Now, ain't it amazing that God put us together in ministry like that?
It's a God thing.
Yes, it'd have to be. It'd have to be. One in Marion. It'd have to be God. Yeah. Philippians 1:6, I am sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day. Then remember, when you see that day, or in the day, that's on the coming of the Lord. That's on that day when Christ comes back. When Christ Jesus comes back again. So anytime you see, when you're reading Scripture and you say, on that day, you're talking about when Christ comes back again for you. 1 John 3:2. You know, why do we condemn those in the first century Christians? Why do we condemn so many there? Because they didn't believe truly that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Christ. And we say, what's the matter with you people? Don't you see all the miracles that he has wrought in front of you? And you walk away from that? Well, tell me, are we any better? Do we not do the same thing in our generation? We preach Christ is coming again, but we don't act like we're looking for him. We just say the words, he's coming again. Well, what do you mean? I don't know. It's in the book. He's coming again, and I'm a Christian. That's what we believe. So are we any better in this generation than that generation that we condemn for not believing? Think of it, folks. Remember, not one religious person showed up for his birth. And they're the ones that had the message he was coming. Okay. 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, we are already God's children. Okay. You don't become a child of God when you leave earth and get to heaven. You're already God's children right here. Our skin's just different. And we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when he comes, we will be like him. For we will see him as he really is. Okay, I want you to think about this. Christ came in the human form. Why? To be able to take on the human condition and conquer it for us. That's not his original form. We don't know. We will know then and see him as he truly is. But he needed to relate to us, so he came in human form. And he said, if you've seen me, You've seen the Father. So people saying, well, show us the Father and we will believe. And he says that, well, they could not grasp the idea that God is spirit and must be worshipped in spirit. Jesus knew their problems, so he came in human form. But we do know that when he comes, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. You're going to see the hands, we do know that. You will see the scars. But the closest, I guess, we can ever come to just guessing about what we're talking about is that when John the Revelator is speaking, he saw light, meaning he couldn't relate to it. He saw light. Light was so bright as to what he saw. You and I will recognize the light in that day.